You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, the king Scott Angle, and Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Gentlemen, we're headed toward that weekend. What's going on, Scotty?
Good night out at the ballpark at Citi Field. I'm having some great fantasy football at the parks coming up.
It was a great night.
Yeah.
That's what a loss is now described as for the Metropolitans. A great night.
We're not talking about the game. We're talking about my pregame interviews with Sonny Gray, CeCe Sabathia, and Dellen Betances.
It was a great night at the park.
It was a great
night.
I had a great time because I did some terrific interviews that I'm looking forward to playing. And also, live chat start on rotoexperts.com tonight, the exclusive fantasy football package. Enter the king at checkout for a special discount. Tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern, you can chat with FSWA award winner Brandon Murchison.
How about that? Brandon Murchison inside the exclusive edge package tonight. If you want to get in there, make sure you're
chatting every day starting today.
Every day.
Live chats every day.
Oh, my goodness. How about that? Live chats. Make sure you get in on there. Sussmania when you check out because, well, you get some money, I get some money. Yay! Matt Modica, what's up?
Oh, good morning. Scott, can we give out your phone number? Do people have live chats with you every day? Is that possible?
Yeah, for a nominal fee, which you'll get no part of. Yeah.
He's getting smart.
Yeah, there you go.
I've been doing this for a while.
I'm excited about the rundown today.
You like what we have going on today?
I like it.
I appreciate that. On the program today, we have some of the headlines, of course, from yesterday. For 2 days in a row, kind of a slow news day. Not really much going on, so we'll highlight a couple of things. I feel like we had a lot of fun doing our mock auction yesterday. We kind of focused on running backs and a couple of Rob Gronkowski's in there. So I wanted to do a little auction again. We got a lot of great feedback there. So I wanted to do some wide receivers. Let's put up an hour number two. And my man Chris Raven, who I just think does a phenomenal job at 4-for-4 football. He came out with three key fantasy football points about every single team. And I kind of highlighted a few of them that I want to talk about coming up in the 8 o'clock hour that I think are just absolutely tremendous points. And all the props and love goes to Chris Raven, who, like I said, does an absolutely tremendous job. Corey, the fantasy executive, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good. My microphone was on the floor. I don't know why the hell my microphone was on the floor.
Would you like me to answer that question?
Why?
Well, because we have the Line of Lock live show, so we clear out the desk, we get one person in here, and that's it.
Okay.
All our microphones are on the floor.
I'm a company guy, so you know what I mean? I just want to make sure everything is on the up and up. Make sure that my microphone wasn't put on the floor for a purpose.
Oh.
All right, good. How you doing this morning, Scott?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Matt Modica, how you doing, sir?
Good morning.
Yeah, there
you too, Greg.
I appreciate it.
I have a feeling you moved my microphone.
You're right. I was going to move it back on the table. And I was like, you know what? I'm good. When we come back, some of the top headlines from yesterday, including some more Ty Montgomery worries and Jamal Williams probably moving up draft boards and a little rumor with the New York Football Giants. This all coming your way when we come back off and early here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Morning, happy to be with you. Sum 41. I can't imagine these guys like that. Do you know
what's up?
Do you know what Sum 41 is?
No, I never. I'm not.
I know of them. I don't.
Sum 41.
Yeah, there's nothing for you to like about that.
Really,
Corey Parson? No, sir. No.
Do they have any young ladies dancing in the videos?
Your mind literally is always in one single.
Hey, he might like some country music if that's the case.
It's true.
Yeah.
There are women in those videos.
Yeah. Good. Well, I mean, if that's your thing, you know.
It is
respectable.
Your thing.
You know what I'm saying?
It is
your thing. The honky tonk badonkadonk.
Okay.
You should watch that video.
So, Ty Montgomery, who has his lower leg injury, he's not going to play this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, I wouldn't really care. Like, there's a bunch of people that probably won't play this weekend. I'll be like, all right, whatever. No big deal. But Ty Montgomery, he kind of leaked it yesterday that he's battling some sort of soft tissue injury in that lower leg. Calf comes to mind in the lower leg, maybe an ankle sprain. There's something going on, but it's a soft tissue injury in the lower leg, which means Jamal Williams is going to start on Saturday. Folks, this is a major opportunity for Jamal Williams here. I'm not saying he's going to all of a sudden usurp Ty Montgomery, but I am saying if he has one heck of a game, given that the most likely the first team, Aaron Rodgers and co, could play close to a half.
Really? They said that?
In the second preseason game, that's what they normally play.
Yeah.
They might get a quarter or a drive.
I would say like a quarter and a half, you know.
Okay, that is close.
Doesn't make a difference.
That's close to a half. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. More extensive period,
yes,
yeah.
Exactly, Scotty. They're gonna play some significant period of time. And if Jamal Williams is in there and proves well, particularly in the pass blocking realm, which is really what is important in the Packers offense, well, we're going to have a major story on our hand. Of course, Jake Seeley's been talking about Jamal Williams for months, has been in his top 24 running backs. And, well, he's going to get an opportunity to be right here. Matt Modica, as someone that has been relatively high on Ty Montgomery at the table, as have I, how nervous does this entire story make you?
I mean, it is concerning. I have a ton of Jamal Williams shares for the fact that he goes so late. But I think Montgomery ultimately is the back they want to be the starter. Now, if Jamal Williams comes out and has a great game, everybody's going to go crazy. And now, what if Jamal Williams has a bad game? The people that still like Jamal Williams, I believe, are still going to like him. And just say, you know what, it's preseason, stuff like that. What I'm more concerned about is what is the injury?
Okay.
You know, that's my main concern.
Like I said, all we heard is a lower leg injury. Scotty, Matt mentioned he's got all these shares here of Jamal Williams, and mainly because he's going so late. Given that he's going to start this game with Aaron Rodgers and the starters, I have to imagine Jamal Williams' ADP is going to go up. It's great that Matt has all these shares that he drafted from within the last month, but here we are, right? We are headed strongly to fantasy football draft season, and we're there, right in the thick of it. We all have big drafts together on Sunday. Jamal Williams isn't going to go as late as Matt Modica was taken in the last month. He's going to skyrocket. Sir, where would you take Jamal Williams this Sunday?
You see, it's kind of tough because you have to remember that it's still preseason, and we're not thinking about week three. If the Packers are holding him out here, and we'll hear more from Dr. A on Ty Montgomery this morning, which I think will certainly interest me.
That's good to know.
I think Dr. A can shed some real light on this.
On the injury. You let me know who we're talking about with Dr. A when you get a moment, please.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Thanks. Well, Montgomery was on the list, but
How would I know that?
It's coming.
It's coming right before the segment.
I had an email. I had some email issues yesterday.
No,
can I make a mistake?
I'm not perfect.
Exactly. Yeah.
Where is it, Scotty? I'm going to throw you through the glass. Keep running your mouth and that may happen.
Oh.
Anyway, Ty Montgomery. You have to remember this is not a long-term injury. I'm not necessarily going to bump him up. I think a lot of people be reactionary to what we see in the short term, and that can be dangerous. I still think that Ty Montgomery is going to play a significant role for this team when they start playing for real. They're holding him out of a preseason game.
Of course.
A preseason game.
Absolutely.
I still believe this is going to be a timeshare, and I'm really not going to remove my rankings.
Corey.
Yo.
Ty Montgomery injured. obviously hasn't played a whole lot of running back in his NFL career. Jamal Williams comes in as a fresh-faced rookie. Are you moving him up, given that we know Ty Montgomery is already experiencing lower leg soft tissue injury?
No, I'm not even worried about it right now. This is a situation that I will keep an eye on, though, as we get closer to the dress rehearsal and the start of the regular season. Like it still boils down to me. It's not going to be a shakeup in the ranking until I see something significant from Jamal Williams. So, significant news for Jamal Williams, or significant news that this young man, Montgomery, is not going to be available, because right now we don't know. And like I was saying yesterday, is Green Bay the place to go get your running backs at?
For me, so far in the limited preseason that we've seen, with first teams, the most impressive running back has been Jonathan Williams of the Bills. If we look at everything first team, offenses out there, he has been the most impressive.
It's very funny because in my rankings available, if you email me, Jonathan Williams and Jamal Williams actually have back-to-back in my rankings. I think they're both like in the mid-40s somewhere. As somebody that, like, listen, late in the draft, certainly if you have LeSean McCoy, you would look like Jonathan Williams. But even if you don't, I like both of them a similar amount. I'm not nearly as high on Jamal Williams as, for instance, Jake Seeley is. But an interesting point, I want to actually go to something that Chris Raven said originally. It's, like I said, 4for4.com. Chris Raven's stuff is just absolutely fantastic. And he said this. Green Bay has thrown...
You know you live here.
Chris does?
Mm-hmm.
I got him. Can you reach out to him and get him in the studio?
Yeah.
That'd be cool. I appreciate that. I didn't realize he was a New Yorker. He said that Green Bay has thrown inside the 5-yard line more than any team in the league over the past two seasons, which goes to every point that you make, Corey, that you don't go to Green Bay for your running backs.
And the thing about it is, it's been like when Lacy was going so early, it was taboo that he's going to have the chance to finish off drives in that high-powered offense.
Correct.
But the wide receivers finish off the drives and Aaron Rodgers run the football.
The point is, since Eddie Lacy hasn't been healthy, one out of every, you know, Aaron Rodgers, as I said, thrown inside the five more than anybody in the league. And in fact, one of every two passes Rodgers has thrown inside the 5-yard line has turned into a touchdown in his career.
And that's another reason why I like Ty Montgomery. If there is going to be a back there and they want to spread him out or whatever they want to set it up, I think he has a chance of catching a couple of passes, because you're going to have Jordy there. You have a guy like Marty Bennett came to town. You got Adam. So it's just another option there.
I think, you know, Matt makes some good points, but also plays into a negative for me is I think with the running backs, when you have Williams and you have Montgomery, and Montgomery will catch his amount of passes that'll look good at the end of the year, but on a week-to-week basis, you know, I think he's probably going to be like the fourth option in the passing game. It's going to be difficult to predict. I think only Ty Montgomery is going to drive you a little crazy this year. There'll be some good games, but I think overall it's going to drive you a little nutty.
I don't think it's an unreasonable claim, to be honest with you. I think you want Ty Montgomery. You want to believe in Mike McCarthy saying he's a full threat. Ultimately, as I mentioned, it comes down to protecting Aaron Rodgers. And if Ty Montgomery or Jamal Williams can't do that, they're just simply not going to be on the field enough.
If he's proclaimed the starter and, you know, he's going to get the lion's share of the opportunities, then I really like him. And I think he can, for a PPR league, I think he's going to catch at least a few passes every game on top of his runs.
I think there's going to be like 1-2 weeks where Jamal Williams is just going to show how talented he is, and the coaching staff might ride the hot hand, and, you know, he might overshadow Montgomery in 2 to 3 weeks, and that'll drive you a little nutty.
One last note here from Raven on this kind of inside the five conversation, Corey, is that, so inside the 5-yard line, Jordy Nelson, Devontae Adams, about 50% each, they catch passes thrown at them inside the 5-yard line over the last couple of years. Randall Cobb, 68% of passes thrown his way he's caught. But only 2 of the 32 Packers targets from last year inside the 5-yard line went to Randall Cobb.
Because he was hurt. He was banged up. He was beat up all season last year. I wouldn't be surprised if he bounces back big
time
this year.
What is he saying? Positive regression potentially inside the 10, inside the 5 for Randall Cobb.
Yeah, no doubt. I can see it. Randall Cobb was beat up last year. If I'm not mistaken, if I could pull up his game log right quick, and I know the playoffs don't count for fantasy, I think you started to see him get healthier towards the end of the stretch, down the stretch of the season, and I think he put together some better numbers. You look at, well, no, he didn't.
Okay.
What he did, the NFL, he played very well in the playoffs, put it like that.
Well, he had 3 touchdowns against the Giants.
Yeah, that's good. I remember that.
And Jordy had 9 touchdowns inside the 10.
Yeah, I mean,
expand it a little.
Right. So if you kind of spread them out a little bit between Cobb and Jordy, maybe it changes a little bit anyway to promote some positive aggression to Randall Cobb. I'm not going to do the Randall Cobb thing again. I've said that before. Like, I'm cool.
He's going for a song. You can get him as a bench play. You know what I mean?
You should be able to.
Yeah, you're right.
I think the one thing we have to remember with Green Bay is that not only did they not lean on the run, but when you're at the goal line, they have so many receiving options. When Rodgers breaks the pockets, puts so much pressure on a defense, I don't see them going away from that in a big way.
Now, Ty Montgomery could be a starter running back for Green Bay and a valuable pick, says Matt. Well, some team called their own player Ty Montgomery this week. I explain when we come back on the Road to Experts in the Morning. Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes. So as I said before, Ty Montgomery, running back, wide receiver threat in Green Bay. Most of his career in the NFL has been a wide receiver, transitioned to running back last year. Now, there's another team that basically thought they have their own Ty Montgomery on their hands. This time, kind of the other way. A running back that's going to play a hell of a lot of wide receiver this upcoming season. That is in Cleveland with your man, Corey, Duke Johnson.
Duke Johnson Jr.
Now, you had said, I'm not doing this thing. I am not doing the Duke Johnson thing. People are going to look at his numbers at the end of the year, and everyone's going to buy back in. And yet, the hype train is up and running in a very fast direction for Duke Johnson, who you're reading that ultimately... Oh, wow, it's Chris Raven that did it. That is going to compare Duke Johnson and Ty Montgomery. Let's see if I can find it. Let's see if it's in this article. Basically, if Johnson continues to take wide receiver reps, he could be a Crowell injury away from a Ty Montgomery-like role, although the offense is clearly not the same in Cleveland and Green Bay. Corey, where are you taking Duke Johnson?
Nowhere right now. I don't have one share Duke Johnson. I still want to get him in the double-digit rounds if I hop in on it. You know, I do think he could have some action this year. I think that Cleveland team is going to be much improved altogether. I think, and obviously that those improvements will come on offense. I'm starting to hear more and more talk about Brock Osweiler. He'll be starting the second preseason game also. I'm sure Kaiser will get some work, though. So, listen, to Hugh, for the most part, in Hugh, I trust. Hugh kind of wild out a little bit the other day. But anyway, for the most part, in Hugh, I trust when it comes to putting together these offenses. So, if he wants to go with Brock, if he says Brock is much improved... I know everybody in Houston is laughing. Then I'm going to believe it.
Everybody at this table is also laughing.
Yeah, okay, so I don't believe it. I put it like this. I think they'll be more efficient offensively, so that should boost all of their production, including Duke Johnson. It really, you know, Corey Coleman, we still don't know, but he could have a big season too. Who would you rather have on take a flyer on, Corey Coleman or Duke Johnson?
That's a hell of a question.
I'm going to say Duke Johnson.
That's a really good question.
I'm going to say Duke Johnson, too, because I know there's going to be some sort of role for him there. I feel Corey Coleman's got to prove himself already, whereas Duke Johnson has already proven that he can play that role.
I think I would take
Corey
Coleman.
Look at the numbers
last year.
The numbers last year are fluky to me.
I'm going
to
look at it, too, as he had what's-his-name's role is expanding. Look, he's still the pass catcher, but if they're lining him up and stuff. And
it's Duke Johnson's role, you're saying.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Duke Johnson. It looks like I'm also a Kenny Britt guy, so that's another reason. But I do think Hugh Jackson knows how to use running backs and manipulate them and all that kind of stuff. So I still like Crowell. Crowell's definitely the lead dog.
No issue with Crowell.
But, you know, he's expanding and he's trying to take Duke Johnson and use him in the best way that's positive for this team. And I think that could work. He's a guy I drafted as my third running back on Monday afternoon when we did an afternoon draft, me and Andy. So I'm not adverse to adding him. I have a couple shares.
I have not been at all in on Corey Coleman. Like, I haven't even thought about Corey Coleman once.
Yeah, he's having a good camp.
That's why I was just looking up, because I have no idea. Of course, Hugh Jackson has wanted Corey Coleman to be the number one wide receiver. And listen, like, the reason I'm taking Corey Coleman in your scenario, Corey, is... this dude was 15th overall pick just a year ago, right? Like, this isn't the guy that...
Exactly. He's not a bum.
He's not a bum, right? He's not a Tajay Sharpe all of a sudden. This is a dude that was the number one, you know, number 15 overall pick just last year. I understand Kenny Britt was brought in, but they let Terrell... one of the reasons I think they let Terrell Pryor go was because they think Corey Coleman really could step up. I know there's no quarterback here. I know Brock Osweiler stinks. Maybe DeShone Kizer will come in and really prove to be very, very good. I didn't think the shop. I think Stan was one of those guys.
I'm going to rethink it based on, you know, conversation that you had yesterday on BFFs about pass catching backs, et cetera, and that we've said on this show that you really don't want to start these guys. Now on second thought, I'm thinking, you know, in what situation would I want to start Duke Johnson unless it's a bye week or an injury, whereas Corey Coleman could probably rise to that sort of wide receiver status, wide receiver three status, if he hits his ceiling.
Well, I want to interject there with these pass catching backs. I hear you don't want to start them and all that kind of stuff. When Theo Riddick was healthy last season, he was my RB2, and he was fantastic.
So I feel like Theo Riddick is like the exception to the
rule. No, he's not.
Theo Riddick goes in the seventh round.
Who else?
No, the thing is, he wasn't healthy. You feel what I'm saying?
No, if Theo Riddick's healthy, I'm comfortable starting him.
Yeah.
He's the one guy pass catching back. I agree with him, but I'd say he's the only one that I'm comfortable starting.
I would be very wary of Theo Riddick's health. I think that's an
issue.
No,
I said if he's healthy,
exactly.
I would start him.
You see, and that's the thing. I don't want to rely on Theo Riddick's health in my starting lineup for 16 weeks.
So what we said yesterday on the BFS, you please listen to it on demand, of course, on iTunes. And what we had said on the program was ultimately, yes, you look at all these pass catching backs, you can put a lot of them in this grouping, right? Like the James Whites of the world, CJ Procise, Duke Johnson, but really, two of them have worked out. Danny Woodhead being one when he's healthy, Theo Riddick being the other when he's healthy. Besides those two guys, there's not a player you've been able to put consistently as your RB2. And that's, again, kind of going back to Scotty's point of why he's going to choose Corey Coleman over Duke Johnson, is because I don't know if the reliability will be there week to week from Duke Johnson. I think there's a better chance that Corey Coleman breaks out a little bit and becomes a strong and weekly wide receiver three fly than Duke Johnson being able to be my RB2 week in and week out. That's why I'm going with Corey Coleman. Maybe the floor is a little bit higher with Duke. I'm not trying to argue that, but I think the ceiling is probably a little bit higher with Corey Coleman.
Yeah, but the floor is like of a guy that's like, okay, RB4, RB5, you know, whatever you want to say.
Maybe
there.
Maybe be higher than
and
that.
And, like, I'm comfortable using him in a bye week, but, you know, to Matt's point, if Theo Riddick, when he's healthy, I am very comfortable with starting him. But the problem, like Corey says, is he doesn't stay healthy.
Well, he missed six games. He missed the six games last year. He was on a hell of a pace last year.
He was.
Now, in 2015, he played in 16 games. He caught 80 passes. So, but his average... he caught 80 passes in 2015. In a PPR, he averaged 11 points a game.
Averages five passes. He averages five receptions for the last 2 seasons.
You want that?
I am not arguing theoretic. I love theoretic. I always say that. I'm not making the theoretic argument. I'm making that every pass catching back is not theoretic.
Well, here's something to look at. Over the last 2 seasons, there are four running backs that have caught over the last 2 seasons, and of course over 110 passes.
Okay.
Duke Johnson caught 115. David Johnson has 116. Freeman has 127, and Riddick has 133.
Okay, yeah. So you take David Johnson out of this because David Johnson's best player. Best player in fantasy football, right?
He's
take Devontae Freeman out of it because Devontae Freeman's amazing as well, right?
Well, I'm trying to highlight Duke Johnson.
I understand you're trying to do.
And Theo Riddick,
right? So I don't think anyone here is really going to argue with you, Matt, over how valuable Riddick. Theo Riddick is. Because when he is healthy, he is someone you can start every week.
Has he been practicing this year?
He practices in with the safe jersey on. And stuff.
Oh, yeah, you can't touch him yet.
Red jersey,
a little fragile. So let's take Theo Riddick out of this. Duke Johnson, who you're trying to highlight, Corey, nobody knows this better than you, right? Matt gave you the numbers, over 110
they sound
passes,
good.
Passes caught over the last 2 years. They sound amazing. I mean, that's a guy that you're going to want to start. But you are the one stomping your feet, slamming your fists on this very table that you're not doing this Duke Johnson thing, even though you knew people would bring up this exact argument they are.
Yeah, because of the fact of they look at the numbers and how good they were last year for Duke Johnson, but he was so unbelievably inconsistent last season, Duke Johnson. So really, you're expecting him. You would say, he can have a bounce back year. Then people say, oh, how can he bounce back? He still caught this. Put him in your lineup and see what happens. Put him in your lineup. Put him in your lineup every single Sunday in the month of September, and you'll be like, I need to put somebody else in my lineup come October.
Here's my argument. He's going, and I don't know where he's going to go to Fantasy Pros. In the FFC, he's has an ADP of 100. So at that point in time, you're not like taking this great leap of faith.
No, but that's not in the 11th, 12th round here.
No, you're going for like a 9th round pick.
That's not nothing.
If he's your RB4 at that point or something, you know what I mean? Look, that's 9 picks. If you believe in waiting on a quarterback, say you're not taking the quarterback.
Right.
Okay. At that point, you could have 4 wide receivers, 4 running backs, and then you're in the 9th round. I mean, in a lot of the drafts, the people that are listening are going to do, they're told to wait on tight end. They're told to wait on quarterback. So a guy like Duke Johnson, if they're doing a PPR and they get him in the 9th round, maybe in that league he goes in the 10th round or the 11th round. So that's even more of something.
Who are some of the running backs right around him in that range?
Okay, hold on.
So one thing, Corey Coleman is in that range. You feel what I'm saying? I don't know. Tomorrow I might do Duke Johnson. The next day I might do Corey Coleman. That's where I'm at. I'm kind of
split on
the situation.
You know what Duke Johnson is.
I do not
want to
be
overexposed
to Duke Johnson. I'm not telling you to go out there and have a Duke Johnson as your RB2. That's not what I'm saying. But I do think, you know, you have – I'm trying to – Hugh Jackson's there. I'm trying to – supposedly he's getting this expanded role, which I said the other day. You know, we got to be cautious. We always hear this every camp about this running back becoming a wide receiver. But if this is going to be implemented, this does make him a very interesting player.
I mean, yes and no. And Fantasy Pros, by the way, Duke Johnson's 130 overall. Corey Coleman's 118, so not that far away. About a round apart there. But I look at it as Duke Johnson, they're saying he's becoming a wide receiver, almost their slot wide receiver, their number 3 guy, if you will, with Corey Coleman and Kenny Britt on the outside, right? That's what we're saying for Duke Johnson. I mean, Andrew Hawkins was the slot guy. He didn't do anything. He was never fantasy worthy in Cleveland, right? 33 receptions, 324 yards, 3 touchdowns. Same offense. This is last year.
Baby Hawk.
God. This is last year. And well, I understand you take that level and add that to Duke Johnson, then you have 80 catches, 6 touchdowns, maybe more. That's great. But the slot wide receiver in general, this third wide receiver in Cleveland, is not exactly a valuable fantasy spot.
No. I think you know what Duke Johnson is. You know, there's a floor there, but I don't think there's anything of a ceiling.
I mean, it's only been 2 years. I mean, this guy kind of have... I'm just saying.
We'll talk more about Duke Johnson. As Scotty said, I want to know the running backs that are going around Duke Johnson. We'll do that when we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
Okay, so Duke Johnson, as I said to Matt during the break, the hill that he's dying on today.
Yeah, this is unexpected. This was not what I was looking for.
Like, what am I doing on this hill?
I'm just
get me off the hill!
I'm just trying to make the argument for Duke Johnson. And we'll look at the running backs here. I got Fantasy Pros up. I went that route to see who's in his range.
Right. Who is in his range, sir?
Right now is Duke Johnson. Seven picks later is Robert Kelly. And if PBR, I'd rather have Duke Johnson.
Yeah, I'd rather have Kelly, like, starting running back.
I love it. Love that you love Fat Rob now.
Look,
it's the
trend right now. You know, P. Ryan's not having a good preseason. It is what it is.
Can I ask you this? Like, last season, it was Matt Jones.
I said this yesterday on the show, on the BFFs.
And, you know, Matt Jones was a thing for how long?
For no time. He wasn't.
I can't pass on Kelly just because of what happened with Matt Jones.
I never said don't draft Rob Kelly. But Rob Kelly's now, the draft I did Tuesday night, he went in the seventh round with the second pick. So Rob Kelly is no longer that, you know, 10th, 11th round guy and stuff like that. You know, you're paying for Rob Kelly.
I feel like if he keeps the job
I think in a lot of average leagues this week, you'll still be able to get him in double-digit rounds this weekend, Rob Kelly, in a lot of home leagues.
Maybe this weekend, but I think that's going to change. Once everybody knows that he is confirmed as the starter, doesn't the average player go with the
mindset? The average player might not even be paying attention to what's happening with Kelly and P. Ryan right now and just not even thinking about P. Ryan, just assuming Kelly was the starter all along.
I mean, other running backs, so Kelly was 99th overall. Kareem Hunt, 100. I'd rather have Kareem Hunt.
Yeah. Kareem Hunt as well.
Terrence West. Are you a Terrence West?
I have Terrence West and Duke Johnson very close in my rankings, too. I'd rather have Terrence West.
Yeah, me too.
And here are the two players. And the thing with Duke Johnson is, for me, it's more of a roster construction at that point. But here's the two players that... James White. I mean, James White is in a much better offense, has a much better opportunity. But he also has Deion Lewis there as well.
Maybe, and game plan specific every week.
And Deion Lewis is cheap, so I don't think Deion Lewis is getting cut. He's too talented, too cheap.
That's the other thing. He's too cheap.
So, and the next guy, you know, even later, is C.J. Procise. I mean, actually, Procise is going probably about almost two rounds after Duke.
See, that's
Johnson.
A tough
I'd rather
one.
Have Duke Johnson than C.J. Procise.
That's a tough one because, like, Procise has more upside to, like, you know, he's more explosive than Johnson, but you don't get the durability issue. So ultimately, I think I'd lean Duke Johnson.
All right, here's some running backs according to Fantasy Pros are in Duke Johnson's range. C.J. Procise is going 9 picks earlier. Thomas Rawls or Duke Johnson?
It's like. That's a really tough one. I think I'm a slightly lead Rawls because he could get a chance to start at some point.
Yeah, I probably would do the same thing. I would lean Rawls because he could get a chance to start at some point. I agree with Scott. Scott's learning.
Matt?
Thomas Rawls or Duke Johnson? I'm going to take Duke Johnson. I think you got Eddie Lacy. I think they want Eddie Lacy to be the starter. I'm not writing Eddie Lacy off yet. Because she's coming off that injury. Yes, she was with the second team and all that, but I think they're trying to get him acclimated to the offense as well. They want to see what Thomas Rawls can do right now. I want to see who is starting in the dress rehearsal. Let's see who gets that start. And there's also Chris Carson, who's now getting some first-team reps.
Interestingly enough, in Fantasy Pros, still going ahead of Duke Johnson. These guys, so Duke Johnson is RB45, I believe.
Are you looking on PPR or standard here?
I might be looking at standard. Oops. I am looking at standard. Excuse me. Let me move to PPR, where Duke Johnson is listed as...
I think he's at 60.
92. He goes way higher. 92. There you go. That's way higher. So, this doesn't even make sense. I don't like what I'm looking at. I'm moving on from this.
Okay.
Ultimately... other running backs going, I saw around the same area. I saw Matt Forte, Latavius Murray, some other names. But like I said, going back to Corey Coleman versus Duke Johnson argument, just different positions, I'm going to take Corey Coleman in that scenario. Because I think he has a breakout potential type thing.
Corey, how do you feel about pass-catching running backs in general outside of Riddick? Like, you know, where do you rank these guys?
You have some that are good, that's a part of the offense, that are reliable guys that you can depend on. But then you have some that people like the Ty Montgomery's. You know, not like,
we can go, call him a cast.
No, we can go. We can go. Let, so yeah.
Okay, so the reason I got really annoyed at Fantasy Pros is because it's very screwed up. Because it looks like Fantrax forgot to put David Johnson number one, so they didn't put anything in for him. So David Johnson
dropped his ADP.
38. Wow.
They got to get that together.
And I'm like, what the hell am I seeing? This is what confused the hell out of me. I go, am I looking at the wrong thing? So literally, he's consensus number one, and Fantrax doesn't have anything in for him, so his ADP sits at 38.
We can always go back to the NFFC. I can give you the last week, 2 weeks. You know.
So anyway, what's your highest rated pass catching running back outside of Riddick?
Outside Woodhead, of Riddick, right? It probably would be, well, yeah, Woodhead and Riddick are the ones that jump off the page immediately. After that, when you start to come down, for me, it's James White, who's not practicing right now. So
that's have him.
I got James White 29th.
Well, hold on. Does Tevin Coleman fit that bill?
I don't think Tevin Coleman fits that. Look how Tevin Coleman runs the football.
I understand. I was just asking.
Yeah, he does a lot. Look in his touchdowns, the way he can
what
pop
do you
a
have
15.
Woodhead?
I got. Well, Woodhead has an excellent opportunity to start the season. I got Woodhead probably about. Where's he at? How come I can't find any Woodhead? I got Woodhead. I know. Well, I can't find him all of a sudden this
well,
morning.
Curious,
but I know I got him
about
25. I was
curious because you were very high on Duke Johnson last year, and a lot of people were.
Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah.
So, the way I look at it is like this. It depends on, if you're building a team, you say, okay, well, I'm going to hammer these wide receivers, I'm going to get all these wide receivers, and then I'll just get a Danny Woodhead and a CJ Procise. And I'm like, whoa, that's not going to work. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's not going to cut it. First of all, Danny Woodhead's health is one thing. CJ Procise's health is one thing. So say you say, well, I'll just take Theo Riddick and I'll just grab Theo Riddick and like, you know, a guy like a, Lamar Miller. You say I'll hammer out these five or six wide receivers and then I'll get Duke Johnson and Theo Riddick. It's not gonna work. Yeah.
It's hard for me between Procise and Duke Johnson because I feel like Procise has like one more upside.
I don't think you have to do that. The thing that I've been doing, and look, I'm not I'll take McCoy or Melvin Gordon or Freeman. I'm just not going to force them up the board because
sure.
Elliott's out.
I understand.
And what I've seen and what I've been able to do is I can start off with either a Julio Jones, Amari Cooper start, just for instance. That third round, Joe Mixon is always there. Dalvin Cook is there for the most part.
For now.
Isaiah Crowell, you know, Christian McCaffrey. I'm more than comfortable, happy. And even Todd Gurley falls down into the third round sometimes. I'm more than happy with starting with one of these running backs.
Yeah.
And having those two wide receivers in a PPR as my foundation. And now that gives me the option to bang out another wide receiver or two, take another running back, say like a Danny Woodhead. So if I got a Woodhead and, say, Dalvin Cook, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, see, Cook is not he's more than just a pass catching running back. Cook is a guy that's going to be able to do it all. So I got him in that RB1 mold. And what I worry about is the people that draft and they bypass the real bell cow style RB1s that's going to get consistent production in the offense and say, well, I'll just get some catches from Riddick and Woodhead or Riddick and Lewis or Riddick and Procise.
Okay,
that's a bad idea.
Are you going to pass Lamar Miller over Danny Woodhead?
Yeah.
There you go. So you're just breaking your own rule. There you go. You're bypassing a bell cow running back for a pass catcher.
I don't like Lamar Miller. I don't like Lamar Miller.
Corey's making the argument. I think Jake's made the argument. Is he a bell cow this year?
Lamar Miller? No.
No, but I think he's best used not as a bell cow. But, well,
so what is he going to be? What is he going to do for the offense in Houston? You think he's going?
Are you going to pass
1,100 yards and 7 touchdowns?
Are you going to pass? I did not say that, did I?
We almost hit 1,100 last year.
But I didn't say that, did I? Yeah.
I did.
I think Scotty, I love you. will you take Marshawn Lynch over Danny Woodhead?
Yeah, I'll take Marshawn Lynch.
Would you, Matt?
I have him ranked higher. It's like I said, at that point, if I need that number one running back, and I haven't taken a running back his fourth round, all the guys I like are off.
Yeah.
I'll go with him for the touchdowns there, and hopefully I can get raw like a Woodhead on the wraparound.
Okay.
That would be my thinking.
Okay.
So I have the touchdown guy. I can get the pass catching guy. If I don't get Woodhead, I could possibly get a Bilal Powell or something like that. That's what's going on in my mind.
I'm not comfortable rostering either one of them, but I'll take Lynch.
You'll take Lynch over over Woodhead, okay, in that scenario. So you have – where am I here? All right, so you have Duke Johnson being compared by Chris to Ty Montgomery ultimately to be this pass-catching back. And, you know, I look at it, as I kind of have said, that I'm nervous about the reliability. I'm nervous week in and week out, which is what has made you nervous, Corey, mm-hmm. About – purchasing that. To answer your question from a couple moments ago, Scott, that after Danny, you asked after Danny Woodhead, after Theo Riddick, who's next, right? That was your question to Corey.
Yeah.
And to me, I have these guys, I have Woodhead and Riddick, 21, 23, right around there, right? Late RB2 status. For me, to get to the next crew, this is PPR, to get to the next crew, which is I have James White, CJ Prosise, and Doug Martin, basically back to back to back, 20 picks later.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? If you got if your goal is to hammer out wide receivers and tight ends and quarterbacks, and then go with a guy like that in your starting lineup, what's that second dude you named?
What, Riddick?
Not Riddick. Riddick is
James White, CJ Prosise, Duke Johnson.
Yeah, you don't want any of those dudes in your starting lineup.
No, I do not. You are correct. So there you go. A little pass catching. I guess everyone here is in the BFS. I appreciate the support. This is kind of what we did yesterday. When we come back. We'll talk more. We'll talk more with you. Two more hours to go here. Real Experts in the Morning. We're all on right after this.
Quarterback to receiver hookups. Running back depth analysis. Rookie values in dynasty leagues. Deep sleepers. Training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
That time, Scotty.
What?
That nothing. Was fun, though.
That was very close. And very scary. Mainly for the guy sitting over there.
All righty. What we got, Sus Man?
All righty. So it's funny, because I'm here a lot of the day. I listen to every show. Do you know what almost every show opened with yesterday?
John Brown.
That is correct. John Brown. It was crazy. I mean, like I said,
I did one of them. That's how I know.
Right. So I did it. You did it. Jake did it at 4:00. I was like, oh my God. Like, there's really nothing going on. We're all opening with John Brown. It's just not that big of a story. Well,
I know I left it off the rundown today because I'm like, it's got to be something else.
Yeah, there has to be, and there's not. You'll see this.
I'm seeing.
John Brown. As I said, ultimately, there's one final point on him. I don't think it's going to happen. Like, I don't think this is going to be a thing. John Brown. He has said, Bruce Arians came out, the latest on him yesterday was this, and this comes from RotoWorld. Both John Brown and Bruce Arians acknowledge that Brown's sickle cell trait is still an issue. Remember, it was a month ago where we were said, both John Brown and Bruce Arians says sickle cell is no longer an issue. What the hell is it with this guy?
For me, I think if he's going to do anything this year, it's going to possibly come off as like a waiver wire pickup. You're going to cut him, or you know, it's just going to be like the guy's not healthy. Maybe he misses a few games, then kind of gets inserted in there. But they need wide receivers in this team. They definitely need a wide receiver. I mean, I don't know if Michael Floyd ever comes back to Arizona or not, but they can use a wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, they really could. And ultimately, I'm not really joking about the single cell sickle cell trait, but ultimately, it does slow the healing process. So even a guy like John Brown, who you know hurt his hamstring at the end of July, we would think, okay, fine, I'll be back in 2 weeks, no big deal. And he's not, and it's now August 17th. And I get it. It slows the healing process. And for a football player, Scott, it is very hard to take a beating on Sunday and come back 7 days later and do it again and take the same beating and do it again and again and again. And if he's not going to recover, I mean, it's bad for the Cardinals. It's bad for your fantasy teams. It's just not something I want to get involved with.
Yeah, he's a big guy who's been a little guy who's been hurt before. And even when he's in there, to me, John Brown was never a thing. He was always boom or bust. To me, he was more of a best ball guy than the guy I wanted in my regular seasonal lineup.
I just think the thing everybody was getting encouraged about, too, was that he said that he was past the sickle cell, but also that he got the cyst removed, and everybody thought that was, you know, a major thing, and he was going to be fine.
Yeah, you never really, like, see, the problem with the sickle cell thing is, like, that's a sickness. You're never really going to get to be past it. I know some people that got that joint, and that joint jump on you, they, like, it's over. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That pain is unbearable. So they just like, I'm not gonna be around until this thing slows. You know, until this thing is no longer an issue. So it's you know, I'm like I said, Dr. A tells you more about that than I can. I just know the buddies I have, two or three of them that have it. It's very like, you know, I'm chilling.
We'll ask Dr. A about John Brown and the sickle cell trait coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, about 9:20 a.m. Eastern Time, 6:20 on the West Coast. You'll hear more about John Brown because every night we can't get enough of John Brown. that's a thing. You mentioned just a moment ago, Matt, Kenny Golladay, and I don't know if that's on the air, off the air, but you mentioned that Kenny Golladay could be stealing the touchdowns from Eric Ebron, and now. The hype train is getting out of control for Kenny Golladay. Practicing with the first team offense, getting on the outside so Golden Tate can play back in the slot. They are making waves and making room for Kenny Golladay. Should we be doing the same on our fantasy teams?
I think you should. I think you got to keep monitoring the situation, but I think you should.
All right, keep monitoring the situation and thinking you should. That's one thing. It's going out and getting him and reaching for him. It's another. Let's see where all of us believe Kenny Golladay should. The Giants, a potential new running back there. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning, hour number two, coming your way next.